coffee break time, everybody. Happy Good Friday, and hope you're all well.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's it for the intro?
That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
I've got the coffee maker. I refilled my own coffee today because I got a big jug of spring water, and I got a water cooler that I put in that has hot and cold water, and then I got the coffee maker all set up because we don't have running water at the new studio, right?
Right.
So,
okay.
But yeah, so this is fresh brewed right here in Studio E. First cup of coffee.
I was going to say
right here.
There's a lot of first times that are going to happen for a while, aren't they? So
yeah. Yeah. All exactly. Right.
PHP.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
No. Don't worry. Remember, I mentioned that I would really like to be able to, you know, build a service.
Do that, more PHP. Is that what you're going to say?
No. I wasn't going to say that, but I was going to say you challenged me to come up with a solution before you could come up with a PHP solution.
Well, I already did it.
I already found a PHP solution online. So,
what was it?
So, yeah.
What was the script you found?
This was a conversion script that would take a VCard and convert it to a JSON format,
mm-hmm.
And it's part of the Sabre suite of tools.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out you just get that program from the repository, mm-hmm. and it'll just do the conversion. Problem is, it's written in PHP, and it's supposed to run on the command line. It's going to make it a little difficult. I mean, I can use the system command in C to run a command line argument. It's not very secure to do it that way. So I'm still thinking about how I want to do that. So you've already got me beat. Congratulations. Well done. I thought you'd be happy about that.
All right. Do you want to hear how mine worked out?
Sure.
I don't think you were here for coffee break the day that I talked about it.
Okay. But,
or maybe you were. I don't know. You tell me if you remember me saying that I sent out 1,500 emails.
Yes. And I asked you about metering those emails. And you were talking, you said
I said I was going to do it, but I've actually done it now. So I spent, I don't know, 2 hours one morning at work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so my script, it is a PHP script,
mm-hmm.
But it's running in Bash. So mm-hmm. it's using the environment variable to I'm using /user/bin/env/php as the environment. So, I have a comma separated values file with the name and email address of everybody that I want to send this email blast to. Mm-hmm. And that was from an Excel spreadsheet that I opened up in LibreOffice and saved it as a CSV file.
Mm-hmm.
And then my program goes through, converts that into a PHP array of name and email address, and then cycles through that, generates a fresh HTML email, very nicely styled with the company logo, and really, really nice. It's got all their contact info, looks real pretty. And then it attached the two PDF files, and then it sent it out one email every 3 seconds over a TLS 1.2 authenticated SMTP account.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like not going to go into their spam folder for mm-hmm. not being authenticated or anything like that. So it worked really, really well. So I sent 1,500 emails in the course of like 2 hours.
Nice. So, yeah. I was listening on that podcast, or I was there on that podcast. And I remember we talked about the whole metering thing because I was concerned that if you sent 1,500 emails in one blast, it would just
can't do that. Yeah,
no, you sure can't. No,
the closest thing I get to send so many emails is I'm on the managing the mailing list of the Norwegian part of the EFF, EFF branch of Norway.
Oh, good.
And we have the email list have some 800 members. So each time someone sends an email, it goes to the server who gets picked up by mailman, and it blasts off. I imagine that mailman have some metering, but the standard postfix is blasting out, separating into different chunks to
So, Robbie, that wasn't actually the project I was talking about.
Oh. As soon as you said PHP, what other PHP project I talk about?
Well, why would I think anything different?
You got to preempt your PHP statements, because that's the only big PHP project that I did this week.
Yeah, okay. I think it was, I forget if it was earlier this week or if it was last week, that we talked about an application that I think I'm going to build ultimately for the Pinephone.
For the Pinephone. Okay. Yes. Oh, so you're talking about your project, not my project. Well, I'm so self-centered, aren't I?
That's okay. But you challenged me because you said, I bet you I could build it in PHP. And I said, okay, well, if you can go for it. See what you can do. Right?
I didn't make the connection to the Pinephone, because as soon as you said you were going to be using your contact list, I was immediately thinking about the 1,500 contacts that I just email blasted. I gotcha.
I get it. It's all good. But,
hey, evening.
Morning. Or afternoon or evening or whatever it is. So because Bo can't answer the question.
What question?
I was trying to figure out if you knew if the Ofono, which I haven't looked up yet, so it's on me to research that more, whether it has any way of talking to a card dev server for the backing store for all the contact list. Do you know if it's capable of doing that or not?
Well, it's written in C.
That's good.
It's open source.
Well, if I build this, I won't make it part of Ofono. What I would likely do is just build a separate service that Ofono can integrate if they want to, that they can call on if they wanted to.
Right.
I feel like that's probably the best approach. That seems to be has always been the best thing to do with Linux. Build a tool that does one thing really, really well. Don't be building these monolithic tools. You can always string the output of one, pipe it into the input of another to get what you need. So
That is the core Unix philosophy.
Make
one thing that do one thing well. And that is the reason for having pipes. You do one thing and then you go into cycles into something else until you get the outcome that you want.
So what I would like to do is have this thing running. I'm imagining this thing running on the Pinephone. And I would imagine that the thing would have to run as a service, because it's got to be always available, just like Ofono would have to do, right? So
makes sense.
So the thing is, it's not going to be something you would run at the command line and pipe input, pipe the output to something else. This would be something that you would have to, this would be... I'm hearing Peter in the background there. I don't know whether I should stop.
Oh, Peter. I just let him play.
Okay. Is it okay for me to keep talking then?
Yeah, you go ahead. I'm gonna mute Peter's mic because he doesn't seem to be paying attention to us.
Yeah,
all right,
it's done. Okay, thank you. I had to do that, but you know.
Sorry, man.
What a guy. So this thing would be a service. And what I'm thinking is it will just keep a local database, because you don't know what the connectivity would be to the backing store, the actual card or CalDAV backing store. So it would keep a local copy of all the data in its own database. And it's just then a question of keeping them in sync. Idea is that any application, not just Ofono, but any other application that needs this data can call this service and just get what it needs. And thinking of is just returning JSON back instead of the actual vCard, because why? I mean, otherwise it would be just a straight through, mediation service, right? You'd just be getting the data directly out of the the CalDAV back in and returning it. I think it would make more sense to return something that's a little better structured that can be used in C or in Java or whatever, right? If a phono is in C.
I like that idea too, because then when you're offline, you've got access to your CalDAV data.
Right.
And I'm a pay-as-you-go subscriber. So basically my smartphone, I use it for, like, if the alarm goes off at the studio, the alarm co has to be able to get a hold of me. Otherwise, it's Wi-Fi only, so I don't have a data plan or anything like that. So,
and this would be perfect for that, because it would periodically, it would just periodically sync to the CardDev server, or it would do it on demand if you make a change locally from the phone,
right?
And make a call that would change some data. It would then attempt to propagate that change back to the CardDev server. And if it can't do it, then it says, okay, I'm going to wait until conditions are right, the Wi-Fi comes up, and I can contact the server, and away we go.
Perfect. I like
it. So that's the plan. We'll see what happens. Now go build that in PHP, Robbie, and we'll see. It has to be a service now. It has
with
to be
my
something.
Copious amounts of free time.
Well, yeah.
Only coding I've been able to. The only coding I've been able to do is quite literally just work stuff, because it's like I sit down, like, well, I mean, other than NEMS, but like as far as like extra projects, it's strictly like
only
work related
PHP
stuff.
Coding I have done is on the NUG board. We have a monthly
NUG?
Meeting, Norwegian Unix User Group.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, NUG. Yeah.
When you said NUG board, I was picturing some single board computer I've never heard of. I'm like, a NUG board? What's that?
Cool. Join us tomorrow and we'll see him. I'm responsible for filling the calendar and filling the wiki with the agenda for the meeting. It dawned on me that it would be easier to just run a script that would pre-populate what is going to be in the wiki, so I can just copy and paste. So we have the dates like Monday, December date, so and so, and we have the word as Monday and. The order to do that for the first Monday of next month is to use the PHP date strings to manipulate those. So that's the closest thing as I came to PHP encoding.
I use it for virtually everything. You guys see this thing here? This is kind of neat. Can you see that? It
looks like a screen that's on the the desk. Mm-hmm.
So this is a KKSB 13.1-inch touchscreen Raspberry Pi case. So it has a Raspberry Pi 3B Plus on the back of it. I don't know if you guys can. Can you still see?
Yeah.
So it's got the Pi on the back. And then it's got HDMI output to go into the touchscreen and everything else. And I've got it connected to my Wi-Fi, and I've got it using a Bluetooth keyboard so that I can do that. So I've got this for mouse, right? Can you guys see the screen?
Yeah.
That's a terminal window that I'm moving around there. And then I've got this for keyboard. And then what I'm doing, so I've got the Tascam DP24SD. This mixer, it has USB connectivity. But I can't get a cable all the way to the broadcast server to connect it. So, and the USB connectivity isn't for audio, it's for files. So it stores everything. There's an SD card in the back of it.
Nice.
So, but every time I finish the show, I have to take out the SD card, plug it into the server, and then copy the WAV files off of the board in order to work on the video. So instead, what I'm going to do is it has USB connectivity for the file system, so it'll show up as an external hard drive. So I'm going to connect that to the Raspberry Pi on the KKSB screen with a USB cable, and then use the Wi-Fi to connect it over Samba to the broadcast rig. Nice.
You said Samba.
CIFS. Okay. What do you want me to use? It's a Windows machine. Oh, the Windows machine that I'm broadcasting
from.
There's
your problem right there. There's your problem.
I'm not going to use NFS on Windows. I got to use CIFS or Samba. So, but that will give me direct access to the built-in storage on the Tascam. So when we record a show, I can just immediately start editing through the Samba share. I don't have to copy any files or drag anything. I can just, as long as the mixer's on, it'll have access through Samba over Wi-Fi. So
I have all the Linux computers at home, but I use Samba for sharing files. It's for one thing, it's easier to control, in my opinion. And the other thing is that if the NFS server dies and a share is mounted, then the system, if it tries to use the shared drive, the system is in danger of locking up until the server is back up. So, that is the only I'm not using NFS at home.
Yeah, that can happen for sure. In this case, I don't think it'll happen because I'll just mount it. I'll map it as a network drive, so it'll just say can't connect if it's not there. So should be all right. Yeah. So that'll be a cool setup.
I think Peter tried to say something a little before.
Oh yeah, Peter, we had to mute your microphone for a moment because you were talking while BP9 was talking and you weren't talking to us. So you can unmute your microphone if you want to say hi. Wave if you're not able to do that, and I'll do it. There he goes. Hi, Peter.
I've got a friend of mine who's making I made a very big power supply because I bought one from a certain English company. When you turn the pot up and down for the voltage, it used to go up to, say, 12 volts, say. It used to go up to 20 volts, then down again. The backlash on the pot was terrible. And
I'm just waiting for a train to go by, Peter.
Yeah.
Didn't catch the last part. You've got the power supply, and then the dog barked and the phone rang.
Yeah.
And he has muted his microphone, so maybe there's too much noise at the moment. So.
Hey, BP9.
Yes, sir.
So I posted your question on the PinePhone forum.
Thank you, sir.
And so far, only one guy's responded, and he doesn't know.
But isn't that nice? It's like Amazon reviews who say, I don't know, okay. I never tried it.
That's okay. I don't know. It's fine. It's okay.
He was saying that, you know, you can, with Fosh, you can integrate with Nextcloud and Google accounts. You can import contacts and calendar stuff from that. But I told him I wanted to know if you could sync with private contact card servers and CalDAV servers. Is that what you mean?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's
if
an interesting
responds.
Comment about Nextcloud, though, because Nextcloud can be self-hosted, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's kind of a neat idea.
Well, I'm actually on the Ofono website right now trying to figure out what the capabilities are.
I'd be really surprised if something like that wasn't already written, though.
Me too. That's why I'm sort of hesitating to build it initially. I definitely want to go look to see what's out there first. And there's no point reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, I think what's interesting about the PinePhone is because it's going to be running true Linux, you know, there's CalDAV connectors and stuff out there for Linux. So if those could be installed on the PinePhone, I think it'll just work, right?
Well, they have to work with Ofono.
Probably.
I mean, the thing is that Ofono has to be able to call them. And if the code, if there aren't any hooks in there for Ofono to call something, then it's just not going to work. So they have to decide what they want to talk to.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, right?
There's going to be like a daemon or something that's serving up CalDAV data.
And most of the phone applications have their own implementations of encoding and decoding the vCard. Yes. And is this going to be a case of, well, we'll just include our own implementation and be done with it? Well, if they do that, okay. That's yet another implementation that could go wrong.
but it could go right.
Yeah, think on the positive. Could, but there's a lot of a lot of folks who say that the vCard implementation is inherently broken. It should be done some other way, but they really can't come up with a good solution. So I don't know how to fix that.
Back anyway.
Yeah, the single response that Bo got from the forum reminded me of a comic that I have. It's from an office environment, and the boss is having some kind of problem on his computer that he can't solve. So he goes to his assistant, asking for help. And I think it ends with five people who can't solve it. And at the end, they find the IT manager who gets to see it, and he says that, oh, I just last week I read a forum thread where the one who made the program commented that that is the only thing he didn't figure out how to do. So
yeah.
So the program and itself is the problem.
There's the running joke of the factory foreman who had to call in an external vendor to fix a machine, and so the external vendor came in and looked and tried to figure it out and had a quiet look at it and spent probably 30 minutes looking at it. Finally, took a hammer and went ding on one piece of the machine. Bang! It just started working, and he said, "Right, that'll be $10,001, please." And the factory manager said, "What? What do you mean, $10,001? How do you break that down?" He said, "Well, $1 for the hammer, $10,000 for me to figure out exactly where to go." Ding!
I'm back again, Robbie. Sorry about that. That just happened.
Well, that's okay, Peter. Yeah, no worries. Thank you for muting your microphone. You knew that it was getting loud over here.
Don't get very loud. No, I would say the past guy was a disappointment with our book. So I tried to fix it, but some of the ICs were unmarked. So I built myself another one out of some transformers I found and a few parallel transistors as well to give me 20 amps at 0 to 24 volts at 20 amps. So it should work better than a computer power supply. That's why I ditched the other one, because it's just unrepairable. The backlash on the pot was impossible to use. You turn the pot up a little bit and you used to overshoot by a lot, by about 20%, and then come back again. But if you got equipment on, that could be dangerous. You know, you could blow things up. I never liked it anyway. I bought it from a company. That's why I built a power. My friend also built a power supply as well in Ballymoney, which is far away from us. And he's doing the same. I told him the story about me when I was apprentice down in the South Coast. I used to repair shavers and radios and TVs and et cetera. And one day the Lord Mayor's wife came in her dressing gown. And she had a Ronson air dryer, and there was a big 2-inch hole in the thing. She was crying, sobbing, the lot, and she was really upset. And she said, "The bloody thing almost killed me." She said, "The capacitor inside the Ronson motor thing through an hole, about size about 2 inches, a 2-inch hole in the case." And he went past her hair by about 2 inches, and he nothing, but it really shook her up. We're giving her brandy and all sorts of things to keep her happy. Remember that.
Wow. I'm hesitant to deal with the high voltage stuff, Peter. It sounds like you know a lot more about transformers and how to create such circuits, but I mentioned that I've got a 1U server case coming. I'm going to be putting single board computers in, and I relate that to your story because I'd like to use just a single power supply or build a single power supply that I can create a 5-volt circuit to power everything that's in that board, in that case. And like, you've got that knowledge. I don't have that knowledge.
And remember, over in Europe and England as well, I believe, and certainly in Australia, mains is at 240 volts, I believe.
Right.
And here in the US, and I believe this is true in Canada as well, Robbie, mains is at 110 volts. So just be aware of that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow. There is one island in southeast of Norway. I don't remember the name of the island, where most the oldest houses that were built 70 or something years ago that still exist, they have two mains going through the entire house. Where and one is serving 110 volts, and the other is serving 220 and or 240, because right. They used to go overseas some 70, 80 years ago and buy electrical appliances because they were one of the first places who got power, and they bought appliances that had 110 volts. And when the local power company, when they in Norway decided on what voltage to use, those houses got both voltages, and they have it still to this day.
Right. Yeah, we have that in Canada too.
Yeah,
we have dual voltage. Yeah, dual voltage, because like our stove, like our oven, cookery, usually washer, dryer are all 220, 240. So, but the mains
and sometimes our server racks too, right, Robbie?
Not mine. But yeah,
we have a 240 volt server rack because of our UPS.
Right. Yeah. So you've got a failover. Do you have a generator as well?
Not yet.
Okay. So you've got a full mains UPS that is probably doing the outlets in the office.
Yeah. Big boy rack mount.
Yeah.
UPS. But see this, Robbie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can see it.
So that's
it's like a barrel plug adapter. Yeah. Jack.
That's a barrel plug adapter. So mount one of these in the back of your 1U case.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking, Bo.
And then we have a 12-amp power converter that converts from whatever voltage to whatever voltage.
Yeah.
There's a little dial screw on it, and I think it's like 10 or 12 bucks. And it supports up to 12 amps output. So, so you hook whatever power supply, whatever, you know, like a laptop power brick or printer power brick or whatever you've got laying around that does 12 volts at some high amp or whatever, or 24 volts. And then you adjust that screw on the transformer. And then you can get pigtails that hook up to the, you can put in like a couple of bus bars that you can get at the hardware store.
Uh-huh.
And hook up pigtails from, for the different types of power connectors for the different single board computers to that transformer. And so basically you're powering all of them with one power supply.
Love it.
Plugged into the back of your 1U rack.
Oh man. That's what I'm gonna do, dude. Absolutely.
I got a Dell boy once, that's what we put up. One of my friends used to reach railway station. Dell computer capacitor blowers. We call them Dell boy capacitor blowers. Well, I think in Spain they run the dual system as well, because my brother lives in Spain. I think they have in Madrid, they have a dual system as well. I went to France and I got a shock and horror how they wire up electrics. I wasn't getting anywhere near any electrics in France because it was so bloody undangerous, in my opinion. Wires sticking everywhere, bare wires.
You got to shield yourself for sure. Mm-hmm. Bo, if you guys, we're a little bit over time, so I got to get going. But Bo, could I get the link for that? And I'm going to put that in the description below. That step down controller that you're mentioning.
Sure,
I'd love to have a link for that on Ameridroid.com. So take it easy, everybody. Yeah, Discord would be great. And I'll, for those of you watching, I'll put that in the description below if you're interested in doing something similar. That sounds like a great, great way to do it. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody. I got to get back to work, and I'll see you again tomorrow for coffee break. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks.
See ya.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye.
I would like to switch to my power supply or to just a transformer one, that converter. So it's good.
Is it a switch down or is it a transformer? Oh, Bo's gone. You'll have to check out the link. Check out the link, Peter. Yeah. I'll post it below. See ya.
Happy Easter.
You too.
And you, John.